Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. Just days to go in the race in terms of the recall election of Governor Newsom. Some good poll numbers for him this week, but still a lot of time left in terms of people getting out to vote. Millions of votes still up for grabs. This week, a special week for us. For the first time since March 2020, we have an actual panel in person in our studio. None of those weird Zoom delays, none of the problems. Real people sitting down and having a conversation. We've got left, right, and center. On the left is Lisa Bloom, one of the best known attorneys in the world, of course, a feminist activist and icon. On the right, Jessica Patterson, who is the chairperson of the California Republican Party out of Simi Valley, wife and mom, Latina. And in the center is Dan Schnur, who is a political science professor at USC, at Berkeley, at Pepperdine, my old professor at USC. He, of course, worked with John McCain back in the day and Pete Wilson, and he's spent time in the Democrat, Republican, and independent world as well. So we have a really fascinating conversation about the recall later, about Texas politics, and even some music. So here it is, the in-person panel. Jessica, welcome for the first time. Dan and Lisa, welcome back to The Issue Is. And it's fitting that Lisa is here in person, because I want to take you back to March 2020. We all thought Lisa was a little bit crazy when you were our first panelist to join us via Zoom as COVID just started to become a thing. This was during the Trump administration. Here's a clip. Lisa, you've decided to self-quarantine. Welcome. What's up with that? Tell us about that.
Well, I choose to follow doctors and scientists and not our government, because we know that our government has repeatedly lied to us about this. 4 weeks ago.
All right, so we've gone from that. It's now September 2021, and you're part of our first panel back.
Fully
so welcome back. How the world has changed. All right, but let's talk about the recall. This week, PPIC released their latest poll on the recall. Let's put that up on the screen. The question, should Governor Newsom be recalled? 40% say yes, 57% say no, just 3% don't know. Governor Newsom asked about the poll this week.
Polls don't vote, people vote. Period, full stop.
Well, millions of Californians have already voted, and most of them are Democrats, at least so far. In early returns, about 54% are Democrats, 24% are Republicans, 22% other. That doesn't mean that every Democrat is voting no on the recall. It just means that more Democrats are voting. We know traditionally Republicans like to vote in person. Dan, as the political analyst here, how do you see the state of the race right now?
Well, you could tell by looking at Gavin Newsom that he looked a little bit happier in that clip than he's looked in a while. And that's because the polls are looking better for him than they've looked in a while. What we've known all along, Alex, as you know, and as most of your audience knows, is that the challenge in this recall for Gavin Newsom is not to persuade anyone to oppose it, but rather to motivate loyal Democrats to turn out. Because there's a huge cohort in the Democratic Party, progressive Democrats, who would not vote for a Republican if you put a gun to their head and a knife to their throat. But they're not that excited about Gavin Newsom. And with the help of national Democrats like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, and possibly the president and the vice president, Newsom appears like he is beginning to motivate those Democrats to turn out, even for a governor who doesn't excite them that much.
Well, Jessica, your strategy is not to put a gun to anybody's head. But where do you see the state of this race right now as somebody who's working on it?
Well, I feel very confident in the modeling that we've done. The governor is actually right in that polls don't vote, people vote. And our work at the California Republican Party has been to turn out the vote and turn out the vote for yes on the recall. And despite more Democrats turning out in these early ballots that are coming in, we see many Democrats that are actually supportive of the recall and in our turnout models. So we've seen an increase on our volunteers. We stopped at November 3rd with 42,000 volunteers. We're now up to 67,000. That's a 60% increase. That type of excitement and momentum doesn't just happen on its own.
So, Lisa, what is the case for keeping the governor?
Well, I'm 100% vote no on the recall, and I'll tell you why. You showed that clip where I said I was following the science back in March of 2020. Well, I'm still following the science, and so is Governor Newsom on the two most important issues before us, climate change and COVID. Now, Larry Elder, his main opponent, says he's not sure if climate change is a factor in the wildfires, the mega fires that are destroying parts of our state. They're not sure about COVID, about whether we should wear masks, whether people should get vaxxed. I just finished a wonderful book by Michael Lewis about the pandemic, and he calls out Governor Newsom for being the first governor in the country to listen to the scientists and to shut down the states, which the state of California, first in the country. Takes a lot of courage to be first. Probably saved 100,000 lives. That's way more important to me than where he ate at a restaurant or what kind of school his kids go to.
Jessica, your response to that?
Well, I think that following the science would be important. And this governor, when it comes to the wildfires, told us that he had a plan put together, that he was going to work on prevention, prescribe burns. Turns out he lied to us about what he actually did, to the tune of 690%. And there's some things that we are last in when it comes to getting our kids back to school. We're also number two right now when it comes to unemployment. 40% of the jobs that were lost in this last year are not back in California yet. We're not roaring back like some other states around the country.
But why is it that Republicans never want to talk about climate change, the most important issue in the world and in our country right now? You know, Larry Elder says he's not sure that it's even a factor. The others are even worse. They're climate change deniers. We don't have time for this. You know, Governor Newsom put into effect an executive order getting us to zero emissions, stop burning fossil fuels, which is causing massive problems, the flooding that we just saw in New York and Philadelphia, unprecedented. What is the Republican plan to do something immediately about this urgent issue?
Well, first and foremost, we need to clear the brush inside of our forest.
That's
which
not
our
a
governor
change. That's not a which, climate change issue.
And I
it's
would also say
it's a good thing they should do, but it doesn't address climate change.
And what I would also say is that many Californians would not say that that's the number one issue. Many Californians would say that the jobs that we lost this last year are the number one issue.
You know what? If we have a planet on fire, we're not going to have jobs.
Many Californians would say that their children going back to school is the number one issue. Many Californians would say the transparency and the lies that this governor has told us is the number one issue.
Well, there is no plan.
I'll turn change into a referee shirt and bring a whistle
out.
Okay,
sounds
rest of this.
Good. Yeah.
But in the meantime, what you're hearing here, presented in a very smart and articulate way from both Lisa and Jessica, is almost a perfect crystallization of the debate going on here.
Right.
When incumbents run for re-election, whether in a normal re-election campaign or in a recall, what they want to do is they don't want it to be a referendum, an up or down vote. They want it to be a choice. Joe Biden used to say, compare me to the alternative, not to the almighty.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And the first question on a recall, of course, by definition, is a referendum. Yes or no. And what the governor's been working very hard to do, as Lisa just demonstrated, is turning it into a choice. It's not just Newsom yes or no, it's Newsom or. And for the Republicans, as smart opponents do, they're asking people to judge Newsom's record on its own merits, not necessarily in comparison. Lisa's making a terrific case for Jessica's making a terrific case for question one on the ballot. Lisa's making a terrific case on question two. This is what the voters are sorting through every day between now and September
14th. Dan bringing the live analysis in real time here. What are the big challenges so far, though, for the governor has been with Latinos? Politico writing about that this week. You see their headline right there, Democrats sweat turnout among Latinos in the California recall. This traditionally has been such an important part of the Democratic base in this state. The early ballots we're seeing underrepresenting Latinos, underrepresenting young people. Jessica, your read on that and your strategy in terms of courting Latinos.
Well, this is a governor who, according to exit polls in 2018, experienced a 64% approval rating amongst Latinos. In the last 2.5 years, we have seen those numbers go down. And it's work that we've done at the California Republican Party to make sure that we're engaging in every single community, that we're showing up, that we're talking to them about issues that matter. What are those issues? They want to make sure they have a good job that they can go to. They want to make sure that their children are getting a better education than they had so they have a better life. And they want to make sure their streets are safe. California Democrats have failed on every single one of those issues that face the Latino community.
Well, I think one of those issues are important, but COVID has disproportionately struck the Latino community, especially here in Los Angeles. I think something like 3 out of 4 of the COVID deaths have been from the Latino community. I don't think the Latino community wants an anti-masker governor who's going to roll back the protections that we've had in place. You know, California has much better rates right now of COVID than Florida or Texas, which are comparable states in many ways. Why? Because we have a culture where we're not afraid to impose mask mandates when people are indoors, because that's what the science requires. We have higher rates of vaccinations. I think those issues are very important.
Yeah, and then we will see. But no doubt that COVID has impacted them the most. Some Latinos would say their recovery in terms of jobs hasn't been enough as well, which may be contributing to the support for the recall itself. All right. Closing argument is what?
Closing argument is go and vote to recall this man. We have to have 50% of Californians plus one vote to recall him. I'm not terribly worried about the replacement side. I'm far ahead of my rivals, as you well know. The closing argument is this man has mismanaged the state for the last 2 years. He shut down the state in the most severe way than did any of the other 49 governors.
Next week on The Issue is a special edition called The Closing Argument. We talked to all the leading candidates with just days left to vote. Back with our panel this week, California GOP Chair Jessica Milan Patterson, USC Professor Dan Schnur, Attorney Lisa Bloom. So let's look at the latest poll from the PPIC. Larry Elder just referencing this. He really is lapping the field. He's at 26% on that question, too. Who should replace Governor Newsom? Former San Diego Mayor Kevin Faulkner, way behind at just 5%. Businessman John Cox, who, of course, ran last time, he's at 3%. Assemblyman Kevin Kiley at 3%. Caitlyn Jenner at just 1%. Jessica, I know you are not publicly endorsing anybody because that's your job, but you do have as good a sense of where the GOP is as anybody. That's why you're the chair. Why is it that the party has fallen in love so much with Larry Elder?
It's a person that they've known. We've listened to Larry on the radio for years. It's a voice that's been in conservative politics for a very long time. So it's someone that they know, and it's someone that they can connect with and believe speaks to their voice.
And what do you make of his political campaign so much? I mean, he's kind of came out of nowhere in this race and is just dominating it.
Well, Jessica's exactly right on this. I mean, Larry Elder has been a talk show presence since my hair was the same color as Jessica's. It's been a while. But I think what's interesting about this, Alex, is what we're seeing now, whether the recall succeeds or whether it fails, is we're seeing a little bit of insight into where the Republican Party might be headed in a post-Trump era. Larry Elder is the Trump-ish candidate in this race. Mm-hmm. Kevin Faulkner is sort of a pre-Trump, more traditional conservative, a Bush-Romney conservative, if you will. John Cox is the businessman outsider. Kevin Kiley is the young voice of the next generation. And it looks, at least right now, primarily because of Elder's name recognition, but for other reasons as well, that maybe the Republican Party isn't quite yet willing to move beyond the former president. And that's a decision that will have not just California ramifications, but national ramifications in the midterm elections next year.
And Lisa, Larry Elder's somebody, you know, we've known for a long time. I know
yes.
Your mom was a regular guest on his show for years.
I've known him a little bit as well. I think he's a very nice guy, but he's dead wrong on climate change. He's dead wrong on COVID, and he's a danger to our state. So I'm, of course, voting no on recall, and I have to pick one of the Democrats. I guess it would be Kevin Paffrath, even though I can't pronounce his name.
Kevin
because
Paffrath.
I'm not crazy Kevin. About him, but at least he's a Democrat and at least he believes in science.
Do you think, though, it's smarter to vote for somebody like Kevin Faulkner if you are a Democrat?
Well, Faulkner is clearly a much more centrist candidate than Elder. And as you and I have talked about before, Alex, I think Governor Newsom and his team are making a mistake by discouraging his supporters from voting on the second question on the recall ballot. And I hope that most of the governor's supporters take a cue from Lisa. And regardless of whether a voter supports or opposes the recall, voting on that second question to determine who's the next governor, I think, is an important thing to do.
And Kevin Faulkner really is trying to appeal to Democrats. I was with him a few times this week, including on his campaign bus. He's saying that both Governor Newsom and Larry Elder are unqualified. He's attacked Elder's comments about women. Here's some of what he told me. Your closing argument is what?
I want your help in your vote, whether you're a Democrat, Republican, or Independent. I'm ready to lead on day one.
So that's him making the pitch right there. He, Jessica, was really an early front runner. A lot of people thought the party was going to endorse him. He hasn't caught on in terms of the polls so far. Your thoughts on Kevin Faulkner?
I think he was a fantastic mayor and would be a wonderful governor as well. The California Republican Party, we haven't endorsed a candidate. Our sole focus is getting question one across the finish line. And I'm looking forward to working with whoever the next governor is. And I'm hopeful that it'll be a Republican so we can turn our state around.
I mean, is there any part of you, Lisa, that's considering somebody like him, maybe for that question too? Is it just in case? Somebody
no.
who says climate change is real, somebody who's pro-choice, somebody who's run a city before?
So it's not just saying that climate change is real. It's taking immediate, bold action. That's what we have to do. I'm tired of the mega droughts. I'm tired of the mega fires, the mega storms that we've just seen. We are already way past 350 parts in the atmosphere per million. I mean, we're past where we should be. I care about my children's future, so it's got to be a Democrat.
Do any of you see anybody other than Larry Elder finishing number one on question two?
Well, right now we're looking at 40% are still undecided on question two, and that's mostly people that are voting no on question one.
Yeah.
So there is some room for people to have growth in those polling numbers, but Larry Elder is surely the front runner right now.
Which is part of why Kevin Faulkner is saying, Democrats, I'm inclusive of you too, well, to try to get some of those people.
And because Elder has such a huge name recognition advantage for the reasons that Jessica was talking about earlier, and because he attracts so much more attention and support from the party's conservative base, it is going to be more difficult for a traditional, more mainstream conservative like Faulkner. But that's good for Gavin Newsom, because if Newsom does survive the recall later this month and Kevin Faulkner runs for governor again next year, Newsom would very much like to be able to point to him as the guy who got 5, 6, 7% of the vote, as opposed to the Republican who mounted a more formidable challenge. So if Larry Elder didn't exist, Gavin Newsom would have wanted to invent him. He's a perfect foil. He's a perfect opponent to run against. And if he keeps Faulkner down, that makes Newsom, if he survives this month, a stronger candidate for re-election next year.
Yeah, as soon as we get through with the recall, if the governor survives, starts the next campaign, which is just a few months away after that. All right. Up next, we're going to talk about the very controversial issue of abortion rights.
This is not anything that's on my priority list. So before Roe v. Wade in California, abortion was pretty much available on demand. And in the event that Roe v. Wade is overturned, abortion will still be pretty much available on demand here in California.
That's pro-life gubernatorial candidate Larry Elder. He says abortion rights not his priority. This week, the U.S. Supreme Court allowed a Texas law to stand while arguments are heard over it. That law makes it illegal to have an abortion after a heartbeat is detected, which is about 6 weeks after a woman becomes pregnant. Back with our panel, Lisa Bloom, Dan Schnur, Jessica Patterson. Lisa, this issue is really like the cause of your life.
Yes.
Your reaction to this week and where we go from here in terms of abortion rights?
You know, our Supreme Court has one job. To protect the Constitution, and they ducked and they failed to do it. Roe v. Wade is still the law of the land, and this Texas law is a blatant violation of the constitutional rights of women and girls in Texas. Instead, the court says, well, there's this procedural thing because individuals are going to sue other individuals. I mean, give me a break. It was a heartbreaking week for me, and it shows we have to always fight to protect women's rights.
Jessica, your reaction?
Well, I think here in California, what we're seeing is that the governor and his Democrat allies are using fear to try and win this election. He is not focusing on the issues that Californians are facing, and he's trying to use fear in other parts of the country, and he's trying to nationalize what's happening here in California. He doesn't want to run on his record. He doesn't want to run on the fact that even if he is recalled this September, that we still have super majorities of Democrats in both of our legislative branch, both of our legislative houses.
So do you think what happened in Texas is a good thing?
I'm a pro-life Republican. And I am focused here in California on making sure that we get more balance here.
If I can add this, whenever a really controversial issue breaks, I think it's important not just to listen to what both sides say, but how loud they say it. And what's been notable to me at a national level, even more than in California, is how subdued most Republicans are about this decision. Democrats make Lisa sound quiet and shy by comparison on this issue.
Which is hard to do on any day.
Yeah. And Republicans, while not backing away from their position for the most part, like Jessica didn't, have been much lower key about it, which suggests to me that there are at least some Republicans who, while they are very, very strong in their pro-life beliefs, which they're entitled to be, do not see this as a winning issue in next year's campaign. So right now, the energy seems to be with the Democrats. But what I'll warn quickly, Alex, is if you remember back last year, when Amy Coney Barrett was nominated to the U.S. Supreme Court, we had a very similar discussion to this one, and it appeared that the Barrett nomination did ultimately end up motivating pro-life conservative voters to a much greater degree than pro-choice Americans. And the question going into the midterms is which side cares more about this issue.
Well, and this has been a voting issue for Republicans for years.
Absolutely. It's part of our platform, and it's certainly something that we focus on. Here in California right now, when we're talking about what Californians care about, they're talking about getting their jobs back. They're talking about having their kids back in school. And that's what we're focused on.
And Lisa, this is really an example of elections have consequences, right? Yeah. There's a huge difference between Mitch McConnell as Senate Majority Leader or a minority leader.
Yeah, but can I just say that Larry Elder or the Republicans saying, you know, like, well, we're pro-life, but this isn't a big issue to us because don't worry, we have a super majority of Democrats. It's like saying, don't worry about our position. The Democrats will still save women's rights. I mean, that's an absurd position. Why don't we have candidates who have views that we actually agree with? And the vast majority of Californians are pro-choice and believe that women have the right to make this choice for themselves.
All right, we're going to leave it there. Dan, I got to ask you, I know you worked for John McCain very closely. I hear he was a big ABBA fan.
He said he was. Every once in a while, he would talk about music that he wasn't all that familiar with. But I have to thank you, Alex, because all these years since ABBA's last release, a lot of us have just been watching Mamma Mia over and over and over. So being able to see this was a real treat for me. Thank you.
Okay. So ABBA's going on tour, sort of. But we know there's all these different concert tours that are coming back post-pandemic, something fun to end with. What is the concert you are most excited to see going forward, Lisa?
Well, I'm going to see John Legend at the Greek in a couple of weeks because all of me loves all of him. And even though I'm very careful about being in crowds, you know, I'm going to go masked, vaxxed, et cetera, because I just love him.
All right, Dan?
I have already purchased tickets for my wife's birthday in 2022 for Elton John's farewell concert next November at Dodger Stadium. But I would be remiss if I didn't note that Megan Thee Stallion is in Napa this weekend.
Although Elton keeps saying goodbye over and over and over.
I
spent all this money for his last farewell concert. It's like, it's okay.
It's a long goodbye.
Good for him. Jessica.
Well, both of my co-panelists sound so much cooler than I am. I'm not a big concert person, but what I am looking forward to is seeing Hamilton again at Pantages. That entire soundtrack just lives in my world. And, you know, you don't have the votes. You need congressional approval, and you don't have the votes. My kids know by heart.
There's something we can agree on. Yeah. Hamilton.
Well, the first concert that I ever went to was Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. It's my dad's all-time favorite. Here we were at the sports arena on the night that they closed that place down, the dump that jumps. It was a four-hour concert. Our thanks to all of them. Next week on The Issue Is, we go one-on-one with Larry Elder, hopefully one-on-one with Governor Newsom, and a look back at some of our big interviews over the course of this recall election. We're calling it the closing argument, a special edition of The Issue Is. And who knows if President Biden will be here this week. Maybe he'll be our guest. Who knows? For now, though, I'm Alex Michelson. Thanks so much for watching and listening, and we'll see you next time for more of The Issue Is.